Welcome to Inside the Treehouse, a conversation with world-class K-12 education experts who will talk about their personal journey and all things education. I'm Jeff Jones, and our podcast is brought to you by Solution Tree, the home of some of the greatest tested and proven solutions to problems we face daily in K-12 education. Today, my guest and Inside the Treehouse is a good friend, Jack Balderman. And Jack, I'm going to read a little bio that the company put together about you. Okay. And we have to shorten it because your bio is so impressive. But here's what they've shared. Jack Balderman has been a passionate educational leader for over 30 years. In 2017, Jack was named the Illinois Principal of the Year. In 2018, he was one of three finalists for the National Principal of the Year. In 2020, Jack led his team as principal of Westmont High School in Westmont, Illinois, to win the DeFore Award as the best professional learning community, PLC, in the United States. Jack's experience includes leading several high-poverty urban schools to significant success. He's worked as a consultant to support five priority or high-poverty schools from across the United States to become model PLCs. He led Westmont High School to become one of the most improved and top-performing schools in the United States with a 97% graduation rate, double-digit increase in state test scores, exceptional culture, and climate results, and one of the most improved advanced placement programs in the United States, receiving the highest-ranking exemplary from the Illinois State Board of Education and the greatest improvement of any regular high school in three different U.S. rankings. Jack has worked with school districts in 46 U.S. states and Canada, we need to get you to Australia, while continuing his duties as a full-time administrator. He also helped lead Riverside Brookfield High School to an excellent student achievement success and model PLC. And this I found really interesting. I didn't know this. Most of those other things I knew, Jack, that you were one of the first principals to implement PLC concepts, and you did it at Carl Sandburg High School in 1996. That's 2 years before the book came out on professional learning communities at work. So you were implementing the practices before there was a book or even a practitioner manual on how to do it. So congratulations.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that's when I met Rick back in 1996. And you know who was on? Yeah. You know who was a science teacher on that staff back in 1996 at Carl Sandburg High School? Troy Gobble.
Seriously, now the principal.
So now he's the principal at Stevenson and a great friend and a great writer and a great practitioner. So, yeah, I met Rick back in 1996. I was a brand new principal at Sandburg, 3,500 students, and I was early in my career. And I had read about Rick in the book Results. There was a quick little blurb about his work at Stevenson. And then a couple of my department chairs went and watched him present at an administrator's academy. They said, this guy is the guy you were talking about from the book Results. And so we had him come out, and then the next thing you knew, we were hooked.
That's great. Good history. All right, we're going to get to your career in a second, but I want to spin all the way back because I think you're a Chicagoland born and raised. Is that right?
I am. I'm a Chicago guy, Southside Chicago. Very proud of Chicago, yeah.
White Sox fan?
You know what? I grew up a Cubs fan, but I'm not one of those people who wants to choose. I love the Sox and the Cubs. When I was a little boy, we used to go, listen to this. We used to go to the Sox games for $2. And our parents, this is back in the early, the mid-70s, you could take a bus as a grammar school kid down Western Avenue and go to the Sox games without your parents. It was just a crazy time. So I went to so many games at the old Comiskey Park. But in the summer of 69, when I was in kindergarten, I watched the Cubs every day until they folded. So I love both teams, you know. I'm not going to pick, but
we were probably some of those games together. My dad used to pack us into the station wagon from LaPorte, Indiana, because it was $2 tickets. And we'd drive across through Hammond and Gary and get to the – I didn't even know that the Chicago Cubs were actually in Chicago because we never got farther than Comiskey Park. That's as close as we got.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's good stuff. Well,
Rick was an old Cubs fan. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
One of the coolest things that I was ever able to do is in that October when the Cubs were making their run to the World Series, Beth and I got to go to one of the Cubs playoffs game with Rick and Becky. And it was the last time I saw Rick in person. And we got to go to the game, the four of us. And it was just a great experience. And he told me about watching Sandy Koufax pitch back in the day, and just a really, you know.
If he could have had a tattoo, if he was going to have a tattoo, it would have been a Cubs tattoo, I believe.
Yeah, so. I believe it. No, salute. I would say Solution Tree PLC tattoo would come first before the Cubs. If it was up to Rick, I bet.
So what suburb did you live in when you grew up?
I actually grew up in Chicago in Marquette Park when I was born. And then we lived in a little place called Hometown, one of the most humble little places. It was a duplex. We had six of us living in a in about 1,400 square feet, my family.
Wow.
And my dad and mom, I'm so fortunate they're both still alive, and they're just great people and great influences. And my dad worked his way from being in the mailroom at the Marquette Bank, and he eventually one day became CEO of a bank. And my mom, too, started, you know, back in the day, she really wasn't encouraged to go to college, but she has her master's degree and she's 79 years old. She doesn't like me talking about that, but she is. And she still is a counselor for people to this day. She's still working. She still has people in. She works as an amazing counselor. So that's my early beginnings with my parents. And we grew up in a place called Hometown, a very small, humble little place.
So there must have been three siblings, if there are six of you. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. I actually had, at that time, yeah. Sadly, two of my siblings passed away. My little sister passed away when she was very young, and it was a formative experience in my life because she was my best friend. And I can't even imagine what my parents had to go through, you know, just their resilience because, you know, losing a small child like that. But it really taught me the value of people and to not take people for granted and not to take any day for granted or your experiences with people for granted. That was a very formative experience when I lost my little sister. But I saw my parents' resilience. I saw them fighting through and staying positive and, you know, just giving us support as young people and leading the way. And as I said, it was a very sad time in my life, but it also taught me a lot. And that's a lesson that stayed with me for the rest of my life.
Well, you're a pretty good sized guy. And I mean tall. And when I say that, you must have played sports when you were a kid.
Oh, I love sports. I played every sport I could possibly play, you know, from basketball and baseball. And I ran cross country in college. I love basketball the most, but I couldn't jump and I wasn't a great shooter. So the career was short lived. I love watching sports to this day. And I love playing. And then I started off as a coach, too. I went back to my alma mater, which was a great experience. And I coached for a few years. So that was a lot of fun. It really was.
Which is Marist High School. Is that right?
Yeah. The Catholic Marist High School on the south side. And it was a great place. I think that's one of the reasons I went there. There were 2000, a boys only school at the time. It's now co-ed. It's still thriving. And the school believes in PLC concepts. Their president, Larry Tucker, was at the summit in 2020 before the pandemic, attended that. And that was a neat thing because we've been friends since 1977. So he was able to be there when we watched, when we won the DeFore Award. But I love Marist, and I still do to this day. 2,000 guys, I walked in there. I didn't know one person at that school. And I ended up just loving the experience. And then I went back and I was a teacher there. And I was also a basketball coach for a few years before I started my administrative career.
That's great. And is that where you were principal? Because you were principal at a Catholic high school, too.
I was principal at, believe this or not, it was a very unique and wonderful experience. At age 30, I was the principal of an all-girls school called Notre Dame. And great little place, one of the most diverse schools in Chicago. And that was my first principalship. And it really was a wild experience, you know, being a young guy, being a principal in all-girls school, but great kids, great family, great tradition there. And I had a wonderful first experience.
So the faculty at an all-Catholic girls school had to have been nuns. Is that right?
They're, There were none. When I was the principal, the president was a nun, Sister Mary Bridget Murphy, and she was a great lady. She went to Notre Dame and then came back, was a teacher there, and eventually became principal and president.
So after Marist, where did you go to college?
I went to a little place called St. Francis, now St. Francis University, out in Joliet. And I loved that experience. I was an RA there for 3 years. I was an English and political science major. I didn't start off in education. I didn't know I would go into teaching. But that was a good experience. The people there, it was an interesting thing because I wanted to go to a smaller school to begin with. And I thought about transferring, but I became an RA. And, you know, I put myself through college. I was the first person in my family to ever graduate from college. So that was a really unique experience, too, because I had to navigate it. Even though my family was supportive, they had not gone through school like that. So,
but you put yourself through school. You worked your way through school.
I worked as a janitor, as a dishwasher. I worked as a security guard, and I worked as a manager of a retail clothing store. And was the RA to get through. I didn't do all those things at once, but at one point or another, I kept on, you know, getting the best paying job I could at the time to put myself through. So
I'm not surprised. Your work ethic today is the same. So it sounds like you've had this work ethic for a long time. That's impressive.
That from my parents, no doubt.
So if you were an English and political science major, were you thinking law school?
I was thinking that. I always loved school, or I always loved, you know, the thinking part of school and, you know, being engaged with people. But I thought I would go to law school. And I had a chance to go back and teach at Marist, and I was getting my master's degree in English. And then I just fell in love with it. I fell in love with teaching and being a part of a school community. And it was just wonderful. So then from there, I got my master's degree in administration and very quickly became an administrator. And I just found my calling there. I love being I've been a superintendent. I've been director of secondary schools, and I may do something like that again. But the thing I love the most is being principal. It's like being a captain of a team, and you have all aspects of the work. You know, you have your team, your faculty that you work with and make great things happen. You have the students that you can interact with every day. It keeps me young, too, but I always love going out and listening to students and talking with them and having a good time with them and trying to encourage them and inspire them and building that whole team of students, staff, faculty, and then the larger community. It's just a real, you know, you're a part of a noble purpose, and you get to something that's meaningful, and you get to build that team and have success together. I love my job. I still to this day, I've been 30 years a principal. And I swear to you, Jeff, I think I love it as much, if not more, today than I did 30 years ago. So
you can hear it in your voice, Jack.
That's
fantastic. So let me just jump back a little bit back to Marist again, then we'll come to where you are now. How did you get recruited? You said you had an opportunity to teach there. Did you just stay in contact with the faculty and leadership there?
I really love my experience. I had a great high school experience. I wasn't the star athlete, but I was on the varsity basketball team that was the most successful team in the school's history. I didn't have a lot to do with that because I didn't score a lot of points. But I learned the value of being on a team and not being the star. And that was a great experience. And I was in theater, and I had a great experience there from freshman to senior year. And the theater really taught me to be comfortable in front of large groups of people and be able to speak. Believe it or not, I was the president of National Honor Society. And that was interesting. It taught me how to be a leader and give service back. I was in the student government and helped to run the retreats and do all kinds. Marist was a great place for me. So it really, the things I learned there, I've used for the rest of my life. And not as much. Some of it was the academics, of course. But a lot of it was the leadership opportunities and the ability to work with others, planning retreats and planning dances and events and speaking in front of large groups or performing in front of large groups and being a part of a team as a basketball team. Like I said, I barely got off the bench and I got a lot of grief for that. One of my buddies, my son scored 30 points in a game in high school. And one of my buddies wrote me and said, "Your kid scored more points in one game than you did in your whole career there." So I said, you know, but I learned a lot about being a teammate. You know, I'm very comfortable taking the lead, but I really understand the power of team synergy and collaboration. And that's one of the reasons why I was so attracted to the work of Rick and Becky and Bob and Solution Tree. And the other thing that I learned at Marist was about compassion. And the most important lesson I think we can teach our students is to be compassionate human beings. And even though I'm at a public school, that is, for me, as a teacher and leader, number one priority is to teach our students to be compassionate human beings who give back to this world. And we talk about it all the time. You know, you can be brilliant, but if you're not using your intelligence to help others, what point is there? So that's our number one theme. And I think I learned a lot of that from my parents and from my upbringing, my early education at Marist.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about Westmont. I've been there. I've been to your school.
Yes, sir. You have. Yes.
It's a great facility. And the kids are super engaged with people that come in. They introduce themselves. They're fun. I was there for Rachel's Challenge.
Yes.
Because I've been involved with Rachel's Challenge for quite a while. And for anybody listening doesn't know Rachel's Challenge, Rachel Scott was the first person killed at Columbine. And her dad, Daryl Scott, started a program called Rachel Challenge, which helps kids and social emotional learning and suicide prevention and so forth. So I went there and you didn't know I was showing up that day. I just kind of I just kind of barged into your school.
Well, I'm so glad you did. Yeah.
It was a great school. So tell me about the population of the school when you got there. What did the school look like when you went into Westmont?
You know, it was a nice school. And I think the teachers really cared about the students. There's no question about their love for students has always been present. But they would even say this to this day, and they said this to me when I first started here 10 years ago. We really didn't have the kind of ambitious vision and didn't dream in the way that we do now and execute. So the love for students and some positivity has always been present at Westmont. But it really is, if you look at the performance indicators, it was average to maybe slightly above average school in some ways. You know, I could give you all the data, but that probably put everybody to sleep. But we that's who we were. You know, if you looked at the test scores or the achievement levels or any of the programming. And Jeff, I'm not exaggerating. I can make the case and you could do the research or anybody who's interested. The work that this staff has done and the students have done makes us the most improved school in the United States. I have no doubt about it. And we are hitting the top measures in every single possible indicator that there is. We just won the Blue Ribbon Award.
Congratulations.
The National Blue Ribbon Award. Yeah, thank you. And we have the highest poverty rate of any regular high school to win that award in the last 25 years in Illinois. It's dominated by. So our poverty rate's around 34%. So that's not high poverty. It's, you know, it's more of a middle-class school. And that's the truth. And we don't have, you know, much wealth at our school, if you will. It's really, you know, we have some professional people. But I think that's important. The average school in Illinois that won the Blue Ribbon had 8% poverty. The highest, for regular high schools. The highest percentage of another school was 16%. So we had 34%. And that really means a lot. And we use that as motivation, that we're here to show that a middle-class school can achieve with the most affluent schools in the state and in the country. And that's a motivator for us. And I know from my experiences, because I've worked in districts like Hartford and where we had 98% poverty, and I love my work there. And I even worked in Chicago Public Schools for a short period of time. But so I'm not saying we face the same challenges that they do, but we really have to overachieve and do the extra things and be very smart with our time and our resources to get maximum results.
Well, Westmont is a middle class, as you said, but you're not surrounded by other middle class towns. If I remember correctly, you've got Oak Park, you've got Downers Grove, you've got River Forest.
That's one of the powerful things about our story in the last 10 or 11 years, is that we're surrounded, as you've said, Jeff, by Hinsdale and some really wealthy towns. And that's not us. And for a lot of years, we were looked at as kind of like second-class citizens, if you will. And that's one of the things I learned when I came here. There really was a little bit of an inferiority complex, that we weren't as good. Now, I don't believe in that I'm competing against other schools and districts. I don't look at education that way. However, we are, hitting all the benchmarks. There's something called great schools, and we're 10 out of 10, where a lot of the wealthy districts around us are 8 or 9 out of 10. The exemplary rating is the highest from ISBE. We didn't create that, but we've won it every year, where there are a lot of schools that are much wealthier than us who've never won it. And as I say, I don't see it as a competition against these schools, but it does give us a sense of what we've accomplished and benchmarking against some of the top performing schools in our area. So I really believe that using the PLC, RTI concepts, and working a little smarter, to be honest with you, at times has led to pretty significant achievement gains.
Well, it has to have made it different in the community, because I've seen over and over and over again how a high school or an educational system, a superintendent, whether it's a small district or a big district, if you're a principal in it, you change the community. People want to live there because they're moving there for their kids to go to school. So you had to have made an impact on Westmont, Illinois.
Well, And I say this, and you know the concepts better than I do, but it is a team effort. The thing that I love the most about this school is that we are truly a cohesive team. I'm not saying that we're perfect or we can't improve or that we always agree completely, but we truly row as one. There's no drama here. And the focus is on our students and what's best for them. And our team is fervently dedicated to the well-being of our kids and our community. So it's a team effort. And I love our team here. We talk about collective teacher efficacy or making sure we're focused on the right work. That's the Westmont team at the Westmont High School completely.
No drama. I love that. I wish our world had no drama. It seems that all we do.
Wouldn't that be beautiful? Yeah.
It's really beautiful. Yeah. All right, let me dive into a couple of personal questions. Now, personal questions. First, everybody loves Beth, your wife. She is magnificent.
She is.
So, first of all, and you talked about your son in high school basketball. Is that your only child?
I have two sons. They live in Chicago, and I have a daughter who's finishing up law school in California.
Wow, you must be very proud. Very proud.
Yes, I love them very much.
That's great. So what do you like to do in your spare time? If you talked about you were in theater and music, do you play instruments? What do you do?
I play guitar. And one of my favorite, here's the thing, you talked about my wife, Beth, who is just an amazing person and my partner and a great administrator in her own right, quite frankly. She's an assistant principal, but she is an amazing host. So it's becoming a tradition, but we have our faculty over to our house as for our entire faculty and staff come over to our house in the spring at the end of the year for a get together. The last time we did that, somebody saw the guitar that I had, which I don't play that often, but we sat around and sang some songs and as a team, not everybody, but most of the staff. And it was just such a beautiful experience. I've always loved music and playing music with other people. I'm not saying I'm that great, but that kind of camaraderie and that fun stuff was really cool, And that was something that we used to do with Rick and Becky, too, as you know. Beth hosted a beautiful party. The whole staff came over. We had a good time. And then a group of us were singing songs and playing guitar and just having a good time.
You're a super relational guy, so I'm not surprised at all about that. So I know that you have Fridays, you have all school assembly. Do you ever play the guitar there?
You know what? I have not done that yet. I've played the guitar with the students. We had an impromptu concert one time in the Commons area, and I play guitar. And once in a while, I'll jump into the guitar classes and play guitar for a few minutes. But at the assemblies, Jeff, I'm going to tape one of these because I think it's probably one of the coolest things that we do. Every other Friday for the last 20 minutes of the day, we get every faculty member, every staff member, and every student in the assembly, in the auditorium, and we gather for 20 minutes. And the main purpose is to bring us all together in one place and one time and just have a good time. I want us to leave the week with everybody having a smile on their face and remembering that we're a community and that we're part of something together. And we do different things. We will look at our SMART goals, believe it or not, and the kids love it. They really do. They know what they've accomplished. So we throw up our accomplishments. But we also, you know, we might have a dance contest. We might have somebody sing. We might have some kind of a crazy little fun competition or show an inspirational video. You know, when we won the DeFore Award, which was so awesome, we put the trophy up there on a stool and put the spotlight on there and talked about. But prior to that, we talked about what it meant to be a true team and a PLC and that the students were a part of that. And they really have that sense that they've accomplished something on the staff and the students. But every other Friday for 20 minutes, the main point is just to bring us together and have some fun. And we, you know, we include some lessons about compassion and some lessons about achievement. But the main thing is we want them to be, you know, we have one teacher, Pete Landreth, who does an Elvis impersonation. That was a blast. We had the teachers do the robot, you know, one time, you know, that kind of silly stuff. So it's really a cool tradition, and I'm very proud of it.
All right. So what can you tell me about Sentinel Baby?
How do you know about the Sentinel Baby? You got some researchers? How the heck do you know about the Sentinel Baby? So the Sentinel Baby, and I'm going to have the honor of the Culture Keepers Conference is coming up in Arkansas in June. I'm really excited about that. And I want to get Sentinel Baby in my keynote for that. Okay. So this is how it happened. The kids are really jacked up about, you know, we will do like, and we didn't start out here, but we used to do a countdown. So at one point, we were ranked number 25 in Illinois. So we would count down and show where we were relative to everybody else. Eventually, we were number one. So we did this countdown where we were like 10, 9, 8, 7, you know, and put up all the schools. And then Westmont popped up and the place went crazy. And then afterwards, we had this that little kid called the Buckle Up Baby from the Pittsburgh Penguins. Have you ever seen this thing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's just
cheering
and everything. So we threw that up there, and the kids have gone, they call for him at every assembly. You think they get sick of it. But when you, all I got to do, it's like we throw that up on the screen, and the entire student body goes up for grabs. It's so cool. So what we did, I'll show you this one second. This is that little kid. It's our representative. We've adopted him and everything else. So we put him on the front of a shirt with the blue ribbon symbol on his chest.
Right, right.
And then on the back, we have all of our honors, the DeFore Award, the U.S. News World Report, the blue ribbon, the Washington
School.
Post. Yeah, the Newsweek stuff, all those things. So anyway, so that's Sentinel Baby. He's the little Buckle Up Baby from the Pittsburgh Penguins. But the kids have loved him, so we've adopted him. And we put him on the front of a T-shirt. But it really, he kind of embodies that spirit of, we are going to just go all in and we're going to have fun. We're going to enjoy the moment, but we're going to really be passionate about what we do. So that, I didn't know you knew about Sentinel Baby.
I know a few things about you, Jack Balderman.
I guess you do.
I'm going to make a pilgrimage because I want to be there for Sentinel Baby. I'm going to come up. So you let me know when those are. You're only about 4.5 hours away. I'll be there.
Hey, let me know, and that would be a great honor, and you'll be able to feel the spirit, and we will welcome you, and you can be a part of it. We can put your picture side by side with the Sentinel Baby,
no,
and the kids will go crazy.
No, I'll stand in the back of the room. Anyways, Jack, this has been so much fun to connect with you. I don't know a kinder, more sincere man than you, or humble man than you. And it's easy to see why compassion is the theme of your school. So it's been great talking to you. It's great seeing you on Zoom. I'm sorry that this is only recorded for everybody else who gets to listen. For those who want to follow Jack, he's on LinkedIn, Jack Balderman, and on Twitter at Jack Balderman. So Jack, I'm looking forward to seeing you at some institutes this year. I'm going to be a traveling fool this year since I've been locked up for the last couple. So
I know.
I'll be where you are, wherever that is. So,
well, great. I can't wait. And you better come out to Westmont if you ever can. That would be a great honor. We'll have a good time. So I'll take you for some great Chicago peach if you got time for that, whatever you want. So
I bet you have a favorite pizza place. Everybody I know in Chicago has their own favorite pizza place. What is it?
I am one of the biggest promoters of Palermo's Pizza on 95th Street. And it's a super thin, it's a super thin crust with a sweet sauce and just great ingredients. And I took Luis Cruz there. I took Scotty Cunningham there. I take in anybody who comes in town who wants a piece of great pizza. That's where we go. Not the deep. I don't mind deep dish. It's good. But the super thin crust at Palermo's is second to none in the country. And I've tried pizza all over. So.
All right, Palermo, here we come.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jack. I appreciate your time. And thanks for being on a member of Inside the Treehouse.
Jeff, thank you so much for the opportunity.
You bet, buddy.
Thank you for listening to Inside the Treehouse today. If you have an author or a topic to suggest for a future podcast, reach out to me directly at jeff.jones@solutiontree.com. Thank you for listening, and thank you for all that you do.